Once again, this is All Things Considered from NPR West. I'm Arun Roth. I'd like you to sit back now and let us take you through a detective story, a weird kind of musical mystery. It starts with a record label trying to compile the work of a 70s and 80s Nigerian funk legend.
I was going to call the record This is William Onyebar, up until the point we realized we didn't know anything about him, and then we changed the title to Who is William Onyebar?
That's Yale Evelev. He runs Luwaka Bob, a pretty famous name in world music. Evelev digs up information about great forgotten musicians for a living, and even he couldn't find out much about this William Onyebar guy. To this day, we're not even sure exactly how to pronounce his name.
When I play my kind of music,
William Onyebar put out 8 albums of some pretty amazing synth funk. It's fun, layered, and madly imaginative, kind of like a Nigerian George Clinton. But he halted recording in the mid-80s and converted to Christianity. Since then, if you mention his life and music around him, he stops the conversation dead. Naturally, rumors rushed in to fill the vacuum. Onyebar had gone on to run a flour mill. He went to film school in Soviet Russia. He went to study law in London. Maybe a combination of these things. William Onyebar's legend grew and grew. Yale Evelev called William Onyebar himself and tried to get him to confirm any of this.
And he said to me,
"Why would I want to talk about that? I just want to talk about Jesus."
And then he hung up the phone.
Most artists are thrilled when the Luwaka Bob comes calling. For Yale Evelev, this went beyond eccentricity. William Onyebar became a nightmare. But let's go back to the beginning. The idea for this compilation was brought to Luwaka Bob by an expert in Nigerian music.
My name is Uchenna Ikone. I'm a writer and a DJ and sometime record producer.
And Yale Evelev says Ikone told him,
"Hey, you did this compilation of psychedelic African records, and one of the tracks was with William Onyebar. Would you like to do a whole record of him?"
I originally had planned to put the project out myself, but then I decided that it was bigger than I could handle at the time.
I said, "I would love to. That would be great." Uchenna says, "Great, because I'm from Enugu in Nigeria, and he's from Enugu, and I'm going to go back home for Christmas." And I thought, thank God, a straightforward, easy compilation to do.
From there, the issue was to get the rights. And I said I would be able to do that, as I had already made contact with Mr. Onyebar.
"And if you give me a contract and some advance money, I'll give it to him. I'll have him sign the contract, and you can do a compilation."
And I'd be back in a month. And somehow, I ended up staying there for over 9 months. And I came back without the deal.
Chenna comes back to where he lives in Boston and says, I'm kind of embarrassed, but I gave him the advance money because he was going to go to the bank that day. Then I was supposed to go back the next day to sign the contract, but the next day never happened. So he has the money, but I don't have the contract."
3 years would pass before William Onyebar would sign on the dotted line. But what happened during Uchenna Ikone's 9 months in Nigeria? That's a story in and of itself. Ikone knew he was in for a bumpy ride. He'd heard the rumors of Onyebar's legendary temper.
"He's very, very difficult,
wicked,
prickly,
unpredictable.
He is
evil.
Ikone traveled to Enugu, way outside town, on dirt roads, to his rural, isolated home.
He lives in a palace. He always makes reference to his palace. He doesn't say home. You know, the average person might say, I'm tired, I think I want to go home. He would say, I'm tired, I need to go back to my palace."
And when you were interacting with him, is he a nice guy? How was he?
When I met him, I found him to be a fairly nice guy. You know, he's funny, he can be very warm, but he can turn. When he turns, He's hard. I mean, I came away when after the period that I had gone through my ordeal with him, for about 2 years after that, if you had asked me this question, I would have said he is evil. But I've had time to reflect upon it. And, I remember some of the happier times that we've shared. But when he turns, he really turns.
I mean, what's that like? Why would you use the word evil in the past?
he was really hard on me. we things got bad between us. Things got extremely bitter. And I felt that he acted in some ways that I felt were really duplicitous in a way.
He was misleading with you?
Yeah, sometimes. What happened was somehow I gave him the money and he didn't sign the contract. And when I asked him for the money, he said, if I give you back the money, the deal's over. Well, let's put it this way. I gave him the money, which he felt was only part of the money. So he didn't sign the deal because he said he wants the rest of the money.
He was considering it basically an advance on a good faith advance.
Yeah, I would say that.
I don't know if you can go into any detail. It just sounds a lot more intense than a typical negotiation. It just sounds, the way you're talking, it sounds like it was emotionally draining for you.
It was. Oh, yeah. Not just emotionally draining. It was emotionally devastating. I felt that this man completely crushed my soul. I mean, after I finished dealing with him, I didn't listen to his music for maybe 2 years because just hearing his voice would almost give me an anxiety attack. I mean, I did talk to him on the phone a few times, you know, for over the years after that. But believe me, before I talked to him on the phone, I would have to psych myself up.
What was he doing, though? What was...
Some of it I can't talk about, but, mm-hmm. You know, at one point he decided that I was an agent of Satan.
Wow.
Yeah, that had been sent to cause confusion in his life, and he would smite me.
Wow. That's not something I imagine you've heard from most of the artists you've worked with.
No, not at all.
Well, you've done these amazing compilations. You've worked with the artists bringing out some of this Nigerian funk, and I'm sure a lot of people who have not accused you of being agent of the devil. Was it worth it?
Was it worth it? It's worth it in that I was able to deliver the executed contract to Lo Akabop. That was important to me. I'm a man who keeps his word. And I knew they're probably thinking at some point, hey, okay, so some Nigerian guy calls us up and says, send me some money so I can get you this contract. And we just sent it to him, you know. So it was important to me to deliver, to prove that I was not some guy who writes emails claiming to be the son of a king, you know, that whole deal.
That's Uchenna Ikone, an expert in Nigerian music. Together, he and Yael Evelev at Lo Akabop have, at long last, released the very first legitimate compilation of this music. It's called Who Is William Onyebar? A question Evelev never got him to answer.
He said to me, Yael, you can sell my music, but don't sell me.
William Onyebar declined to be interviewed for this story. And for Sunday, that's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Arun Roth. Check out our weekly podcast. Look for Weekends and All Things Considered on iTunes or on the NPR app. You can follow us on Twitter at NPRWATC. We're back again next weekend. Until then, thanks for listening and have a great week.